Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Another wire-to-wire win tonight for the Bucks. 3-0 now on the homestand. You get the Sixers coming to town. I do want to talk about that a little bit in just a second, but this is everything you needed to see. And, you know, we've had the conversation before about building trust in this team. There is one marked difference from this year to last, and that is the Bucks' performance in games against the best teams by any metric you would look at in the league. It's been a lot different this year versus last year, so I want to dig into that as well. But this week especially, you had a Kings team that at the time the Bucks played them were the hottest team in the league and was playing much better on both ends of the floor under new coach Doug Christie. The Bucks easily dispatched them. Wire-to-wire win. You had the Orlando Magic, who were down basically everybody most fans can name on the roster for the Magic, but that's how they have played for most of the season, and they've still found ways to win. Now, it's been a rough go of it for the Magic of late. They lose to the Bucks by 29 points on Wednesday. They lose to the Celtics by 27 points tonight. And the Magic are now, after, you know, treading water and sticking in it for all of that time, 2 months without Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner, now it feels like it's starting to catch up on them, to them. But look, you can only play who's on the schedule. The Bucks played them. The Bucks beat them. And then tonight, these are the types of games that have given the Bucks problems. They had that stretch of 8 straight games prior to this prior to the Magic game last week against teams below 500, and the Bucks went 4-4 in those games. And Doc Rivers has said repeatedly, "I know who this team is in the sense of I know they can beat anyone in the league. I know when we do some of these other things, the turnovers, the inefficient offense, and everything else, we can be beaten by anyone in the league." So this game to me was, I don't want to overinflate it, but this was an interesting test just to see what version of the Bucks are we going to get to.
Yeah,
And this is what you wanted to see.
No, you're spot on with that. I completely agree. And I think, Justin, that's the other thing, too, that frustrates, I know for myself, and maybe I'm speaking for other Bucks fans, is that, you're 0-8 against the top three teams. Like, okay, you're just not there yet. But I don't, you know, when you started off in January and you lost back-to-back games at home to Brooklyn and Portland, that was where you're kind of like scratching your head, like, man, I know this team is better. Like, I know they're a better team than what we were seeing in those couple of games. And, you know, looking back at those, have they rebounded from those games? Absolutely. You know, they've rattled off a few wins in a row now. You know, 3 in a row or 4 in a row at home, and things are definitely looking better, and they seem to be trending in the right direction as far as health goes. So that's, that's a positive. That's something to be optimistic for. But when you drop a few of those games here and there, and it's an 82-game season, and it's early January and the holidays, and I get all that. But I think that's what's frustrating amongst Bucks fans is when you just don't go out and handle business. You didn't have any worry about tonight. Justin, I don't think, outside of the Bucks losing the tip, which batted around a few times, they almost won the tip tonight, I never was like looking at this team like, man, I don't know if they got – even when Toronto made a little bit of a, I don't want to say a run, or a little bit of a push, and they got it within 10, and Doc Rivers called the timeout, I believe, early in the fourth quarter. Like, never tonight did I feel like, ooh, boy, they better hunker down and really, you know, get a few stops and get some buckets. I had no fear. I had no worry about this Bucks team tonight. And that goes to say how they've been playing over, I would say, what is it today, the 17th, since those two games that they dropped at the beginning of the year, Portland and Brooklyn. And I know they lost by, you know, 30 points or whatever it was to the New York Knicks. I understand that. But that is a team that looks completely different from that game. And you had a great tweet. I'll let you share that tweet out, the information that you shared in that tweet, which I thought was really fantastic, you know, and where this team is outside of that New York Knicks game.
So after the Knicks game, there was a lot of, obviously, frustration.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent time talking about the 0-8, and by the numbers, too, of like, man, you felt like you were starting to build something and take all these steps forward, and now it's not even 2 steps back. Like, you slid down the hill. After that game, the Bucks had the 15th rated offense, the 11th rated defense, and they were 13th in net rating. since that Knicks game, and this is looking at the whole season, so this isn't just looking at these three games, but that's where the Bucks were in all games played through that Knicks game. To show you how important for the metrics these three games have been, is now with those three games under their belt, the Bucks have the 12th best offense in the league, the 8th best defense in the league, and they're 11th in net rating. And that defense is within 1 point per 100 possessions of being a top 5 defense for the entire season, all 40 games the Bucks have played so far. So that's one of the, I suppose it depends on how you choose to look at it, but it's the importance of beating bad teams. What it can do for you, not only in the win column, but how it can build some momentum, and for the optics too, if you want to cling to a top 10 defense or top 10 this. Like, that's the importance of taking care of business in these games, and that's what the Bucks have done. And now, as strange as it is to suggest, you are probably going to have another one of those games on Sunday against the 76ers.
I would even make the point too, Justin, that yes, tonight I'll say that this was a game that you should have had, but you were coming off of that beating against the New York Knicks in New York, and you were welcoming in the Sacramento Kings. Now, you and I don't think are buyers into the Sacramento Kings as title contenders, you know, or late, you know, playoff push type team, but it's a team that gives you fits, you know, out on the perimeter. It's a young, fast team. They won by, what, 24 points, whatever it was? I dominated. And the next day, to welcome in the Orlando Magic, and I know that they're down, like you said, every player that anybody can probably name, but that's just how they've been doing it all year. I mean, Jamal Mosley has those dudes playing ball, and with all those injuries that they've had, they were still coming into that game on Wednesday. They were ahead of the Bucks in the number 4 slot. They had still been winning games, and not only that, the Bucks played on Tuesday night, came back right again on Wednesday night, which the Orlando Magic team is a grinded out game. Like, the Bucks knew they were in, you know, going to be in for a battle in that game. And what did they do? After the Magic had sat since Sunday, I believe it was, so they had 2 full days off of rest, and again, wire to wire, dominating. So yeah, we can look at, you know, well, okay, Toronto's not very good. Oh, I mean, the Magic are missing X, Y, and Z. I think the whole picture, you know, big picture of it, Justin, I think all three of these wins have been fantastic. Don't, if you're, you know, poo-pooing on the Raptors, not you, but, you know, fans out there, this team just beat the Celtics by 13, 15 points the other night. So, I mean, it was a team that was, I mean, they're not great. They're not good. They're 10-32 for a reason. However, you don't just beat the Celtics by double digits and show up to Milwaukee and lose in the way that they did. The Bucks played great.
I think it was more to the message of, and look, the Bucks don't need and shouldn't need the reminder, but it shows you, like, look, anybody can be gotten any night.
Absolutely.
Like, it's not where you could just circle, this team's going to lose. I mean, I think there's maybe 2 or 3 teams that you feel a lot is going to have to go wrong if we're going to lose to this team. But it just backs up how you have to approach these games. And the Bucks have fallen victim to that a couple of times this season. The Celtics, Darko Rajakovic, the head coach of the Raptors before the game tonight too, when he was asked about his team playing much better, they were in it against the Cavs a couple of games ago before losing, and then just beat the Warriors and the Celtics by double digits, and said, well, I think a lot of it is there's not one team you can point to that is immune to this, that just doesn't have any of these stretches of how did you lose to this team, or what happened there. I mean, I guess I would probably nudge back a little bit and say, haven't really seen it from the Cavs or the Thunder so far this season, but I get your point. So, yeah, I mean, this could have gone a number of ways. And I do wonder if the 76ers are healthy and playing much better, if this is a larger trap
Absolutely.
That's waiting for the Bucks. But nonetheless, they took care of business, and again, a season best, 6 games above 500 with this victory now. 855-616-1620, the numbers to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. A few calls to get to. There's some numbers I want to get to for the bench, too, because when you talk about the differences in this team this year to last year, the bench is a big, big piece of it. And I teased it before, but one of the other statistical changes from this year to last year is the Bucks' performance against those top records, and it goes beyond the wins and losses. So we'll unpack the differences in those categories coming up after this.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
130 to 112, the final score here inside of Fiserv Forum. 3-0 start to the homestand for the Bucks, who take care of the Raptors tonight and get six games above 500 for the first time all season. A chance to keep on pushing it Sunday when the 76ers on the front of the jersey, it's the Philadelphia 76ers, the back of the jersey could be a totally different story. We'll get to that in just a second. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. Let's head to the phone lines and check in with Q in Milwaukee. You're up first.
Justin, if we can't revel in wins like tonight, I don't know what we're doing. I am just, I'm happy that we could just kind of coast through a game. Like, have we done this since we fired Bud?
Well,
I don't think so.
They did against the Kings.
They basically did
against the Magic. I mean, I would argue it wasn't tense, but I would argue there were more moments tonight than
stretch.
Either of the first two games.
Mm-hmm. This stretch of games is like the most Bud-like games in the last year and a half. So it's beautiful. And, like, we were missing a starter. Like, Rollins stepped in. He's a two-way player. Like, that's such a luxury to have a guy step in and set the tone. And, like it was a great game. There's some local fans that sit behind me that the dad is from Toronto. But they come to, like, I would say half the games they're there. And it's four sons and a dad. And they cheer for the Bucks, except for when Toronto's in town. And the whole game, they were just like so sad that Scotty Barnes wasn't playing very well. And my question to you was that on Scotty or was that our defense? And like, I'm just wondering who set that tone. But I don't know. I'm just happy that it looked easy. And this was an easy win, and it didn't seem like Giannis and Dame like had to overexert themselves. I'm not saying that they didn't have good games. I'm just saying they made it look easy. And that's just nice because this entire season it felt like we've had to like scratch and claw and be stressed out for like a vast majority of the games. Yeah. And it's just nice. And on the Bob Uecker front, RIP to a legend, and I feel lucky to have been there tonight because it was such a bittersweet moment to see the tribute video and sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game with him one last time. And I don't know, just he meant so much to the city and to the station, frankly. But I another question, is Giannis Antetokounmpo now the most famous Wisconsinite now that Bob's gone? That's my question for you guys. But yeah. Thanks for everything. Talk to you soon.
So, and thanks for the call, Q. The Scotty Barnes piece, I mean, there's a lot to like about Scotty Barnes, but this is kind of who he is with the offense and where, like, he has to develop a shot. It's kind of what we talked about with Giannis, too. It doesn't necessarily have to be a three. I think it's in there for Scotty Barnes, but he has to develop a shot to space the defense even more. It was a train wreck offensively in the first half. And I think a part of it, too, was you saw easier looks for the Raptors as the game went on. Part of that was some things that they schemed up where they ran multiple actions and they would take whoever Giannis was defending. A lot of times it was Scotty Barnes and run an action where he darts away from the hoop to pull Giannis away from the rim. And then you off ball cut to the rim and there's no rim protection. So that seemed to work a bit. Doc also said, I think part of it was, I don't want to complain too much because we won and won by nearly 20 points, but I just think we kind of got tired or bored essentially defensively, and you can't do that and win a game. So there are some things to clean up there for the Bucks. But you won the game, and I wouldn't say uneasy, but this was a game that you came into thinking, you just won two straight games. You looked very convincing fashion that you won those games and looked dominant in doing that. Got a sub-500 team on the schedule. And these have been where you have stepped in it and walked into it, if you're the Bucks so far this season. Not consistently, but it's happened enough where I think you were at least on edge for this game tonight. So the way they've played on this homestand, it leaves me impressed. And we're not there yet of 100% believe that this team is a championship contender. We know what the ceiling is, and we know they have it in them to be at that level, to win a game against the Raptors like they did, or the Raptors against the Thunder like they did, to play the Celtics and the Cavaliers tough. Oddly enough, the New York Knicks, they're immune to that against the Knicks. But we know what they have in the tank in those one-offs. Now it's consistently doing it against those best teams in the league, and especially those teams in the Eastern Conference, because that's the biggest difference this year to last. And the year's not over. We're not even halfway through it yet. We will be Sunday. So there's still some work to be done, and they can turn this around. But I suppose this is exclusively maybe for Dick in Port Washington. This year, and we've made a lot of mention of the 0-8 record against the Cavs, the Celtics, and the Knicks, but against the 10 teams, top 10 teams, 1 through 10 in net rating in the league this season, the Bucks are 1-9. 1 win and 9 losses. They have the 23rd rated offense in those games, 28th rated defense, and they're 27th in net rating in those games. So it's been a disaster. And you can make the case of, look, a handful of those games were early in the season when this team was in the midst of that 2-8 run, and that's true. But the biggest difference is all those numbers in the bottom five, basically, in your offense, defense, and net rating, 1-9 against those teams. Last year, against the 10 best teams by net rating, a Bucks team that wasn't the same, but largely the same pieces and some tinkering with the bench, the Bucks went 16-13 against the 10 best teams last year. They had a 4.5 net rating, which was the second best in the league against those teams, only behind the Boston Celtics. They had the second best offense and ninth best defense in those 29 games played. You go from top 10 in all those areas, a winning record, to 1-9 and in the bottom five. That's what stands out the most. That's what has to change for Dick and for other skeptics to say, okay, I've seen enough of a sample size that I believe in this team.
I got a question for you, and I feel like I know how you're going to react to this, but I'm very curious to gather your thoughts, because I'm sitting up in the press box and I'm watching the game, Justin, and I'm sitting here thinking, and I look up at the Jumbotron and I see it was the start of the third quarter, and the starting lineup was out, obviously. Has the answer for the starting lineup been in front of our face and we just never realized it? Is Ryan Rollins the guy that should get the start? Because I feel like when you look at Andre Jackson Jr. and a lot of fans and obviously Doc Rivers and the coaching staff will say, well, Andre Jackson Jr.'s defense is important, and it is. But I don't think you lose a ton with Ryan Rollins. Not only do you not lose a ton of defense, you gain a ton more offense. Well, at least the respect that you got to defend outside. You know, you got to –
you gain more, but
– Yeah. So, like, my question to you is that – like. And again, this is not a big one game against a team that's not very good. But I don't know, man. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, holy cow, is this the way to go? Because I love A.J. Green off the bench. Now, I love Andre Jackson Jr. You know how I feel about Andre Jackson Jr. I don't know what this would do to his confidence. And again, you and I don't have the authority to bench him. But I'm just saying, I think this, like, could that be an answer? Because it crossed my brain when I was watching the game. I'm like, well, maybe.
Well, it's interesting. There's some things to unpack with that, and there's one big hurdle the Bucks are going to have to clear if that's the case. So we'll get into that conversation. We've teased the 76ers a couple of times.
Yeah, we should probably do that.
Literally, and tease the matchup with the 76ers, so we'll get to that as well coming up after this.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk. This is Bucks Talk.
A wire-to-wire win tonight for the Bucks, who take care of the Raptors tonight, 130-112. They are starting to inch closer and closer to being in the top 10 in all three of the most important categories offensive rating, defensive rating, and net rating. The big thing to circle, and you're not going to get it anytime soon, but performance in games against the best teams in the league. We just ran through the differences between this year and last year. Now, on the flip side, one of the other big differences this year to last year has been the play of the Bucks bench. And I think Gary Trent Jr. has really found his role and is thriving in that role. You have him. You have Bobby Portis, who knows what his role is. Chris Middleton coming off the bench for now. A.J. Green and his shooting. It's just a much different spot to be in for the Bucks than it was a season ago. When, look, guys like Pat Connaughton were catching a lot of heat from Bucks fans. I go back to that series with the Boston Celtics the year the Bucks were defending their championship when Grayson Allen went through the same thing. And it looks a lot different if the Bucks were healthy in what you're asking Grayson Allen to do and taking on some of those defensive assignments. I'm not saying Chris Middleton is going to lock up a Jason Tatum in the 2022 playoffs or Jaylen Brown, but it just changes what you're asking of Grayson Allen and the minutes and the responsibilities. I think a lot of the same applies to Pat Connaughton last year, because when the Bucks have had to break that vial open and use him, he's been effective so far
this
season. He's been largely out of the rotation, but in the break in case of emergency spots where he's seen the floor, he's been effective. And it, again, boils down to last year he was your eighth man, sometimes higher, where you needed 20-plus minutes from Pat Connaughton because that was the state of your bench. This year, that is not it. And coming into play tonight, the Bucks had, since Chris Middleton returned on December 6th, the Bucks have had the second-best offensive rating from their bench in the league and the third-best net rating, trailing only the Boston Celtics and Oklahoma City Thunder.
I'll play.
For the second units. The bench has found its groove. It knows who it is, right? All those guys understand their role, and they're flourishing in it. And you got Giannis and Damian Lillard and Brooke Lopez and others in the starting lineup. Gary Trent Jr., too, like we touched on, the role that he's excelled in. So it's just a much different makeup of this team this year versus last year. And that brings us to, you know, your question about Ryan Rollins. He's still going to be the guy left open by any team, but he can knock down the shot.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's going to be interesting is the 50-day threshold, because he is on a two-way contract.
Yep.
You can only spend 50 days with the NBA club when you're on a two-way contract. Now, the way around that is to upgrade him to a standard NBA contract. The Bucks currently have 15 players on the roster. So whether it's releasing someone or making some type of a trade, that's how you get there. And not only because of the way he's playing and whether or not it opens the door for, hey, is this guy actually going to see more of these opportunities to start a two-guard? Like, that's a big piece of it. But also, it would behoove the Bucks to upgrade him to a standard contract during this season so that you don't get into the offseason and have Ryan Rollins as a restricted free agent and go through that fiasco. Yeah. So I do believe something is going to happen there. We said you could release somebody to open up a roster spot and then upgrade him. You could do that, but you're also about $6 million over the second apron right now. When you're that close, it's like being able to see the finish line. You can get there.
Figure
like,
it out.
You got to figure out how to get there, because it just changes so many things for you. It opens up the taxpayer mid-level that you could use. You can bring back more money in trades. You can send out cash in trades if you do that. You can aggregate contracts. Like, it goes on and on and on. Perhaps most importantly, you would have access to your 2032 pick. Like, if you're in the second apron, again, when the league year ends, June 30th, so you have until June 30th to get under that. But if you're in the second apron as of June 30th, your 2032 first-round pick is frozen. So if you remain in the second apron for, I think it's 3 out of 5 years, it goes directly to the back of the first round. So even if Giannis is gone by the time you get to 2032 and Damian Lillard is gone, The reality is that's probably going to be the case for the makeup of this roster and the age of this group. So even if that's fallen into place and it's time to rebuild and you finish in the lottery, you're still picking 32nd potentially because you were in that second apron. So there are a lot of reasons for the Bucks to really have an urgency to get out of the second apron. But doing that may open the door for Ryan Rollins. If you just say, look, we got to move on from a couple of guys. We're going to make some smaller trades. Maybe you don't even get much back in terms of assets, but the biggest gain that you get is you're under the second apron, and you got a roster spot that you can upgrade him on. I do believe he's going to be upgraded to a standard contract this season.
Did you say 50 games or 50 days?
50 days.
That's got to be coming up, though, right?
Well, it's like game days, so it doesn't even mean if you're playing, but if you're inactive and you're sent down to like what we've seen
so,
with AJ.
So we're thinking probably closer to All-Star break.
He has only been inactive for three to five games so far this season. So it's getting close.
Yeah, we're getting there. Okay.
He's probably around 30-ish, mid-30, 35, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So we're starting to get close. So I would imagine, you know, sometime in the next couple of weeks, it may line up with the trade deadline, too, of this is going to be your 50 threshold, so let's figure something out here.
That's a great point as far as the trade deadline, because I think that will probably match up if my, you know, doing the math off the top of my head. I just felt like from the eye test today, Justin, things just offensively were a little bit smoother. Now, I think Giannis and Dame are obviously a big part of that, but
go ahead.
No, you're fine.
Well, the interesting part, too, is he basically played the Andre Jackson Jr. role. Well, I mean, in terms of the minutes played.
Yeah,
because that's
16,
what we've talked about with Ajax starts, but he really is playing like 11, 12, 14 minutes. That's what you saw from Ryan Rollins in that, look, these are the minutes we've carved out for this spot because A.J. Green and Gary Trent Jr. are splitting time off the bench. Chris Middleton, we're still ramping up his minutes. That we have these guys, and Ryan Rollins has been in the rotation, but he's been playing fewer minutes, even when you have Andre Jackson Jr. out there. So it just really seems like Doc Rivers kind of knows who this group is and knows how he wants to utilize these guys.
It's a good problem to have, man. I'll tell you that. I mean, if you're worried about the job that John Horst has done, I wouldn't worry too much. He deserves a lot of credit because this is a fantastic roster that you and I have cemented 100 times that it just makes sense at the end of the day. And tonight was another example. You don't have Andre Jackson Jr., boom. Ryan Rollins, who you signed as a two-way player, and he has been – I'm a huge Ryan Rollins fan. I think he's just fantastic. I think he plays within himself, Justin. He doesn't go out of his comfort zone. 3 for 5 tonight, 16 minutes, 7 points, 2 rebounds. I don't know, just a good game from him. And watching it just felt like, I don't know, maybe they had something there. And I guess we'll see how the injury to Andre Jackson Jr. is. Well, at least, I mean, if you know now, we don't have to rush him back. You're doing okay with who you have.
So next for the Bucks is the Philadelphia 76ers. They are an interesting team, to put it mildly. So we'll get to the latest with Philadelphia and try to take a look at what we may see in that matchup between the Bucks and the 76ers on Sunday night. We'll get to that conversation after this.
This is Bucks Talk. Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Bucks look for a 4-0 homestand Sunday night when the 76ers come to town. A 76ers team, but that by the time that game rolls around, may be 10 games below 500. So Philadelphia has a back-to-back. Tomorrow night, they're in Indianapolis playing the Pacers.
Tough.
Joel Embiid is not going to play tomorrow. He's not going to play Sunday either, as he will be reevaluated in a week. Still has swelling in his left knee. Paul George was listed as questionable for the game tomorrow. The fact that he has not been ruled out leads me to wonder if Paul George is going to be ruled out for the game Sunday
against the Bucks
because he has largely not been playing.
Yeah, I think you're right.
In back-to-backs, Kyle Lowry is out. He's dealing with a hip sprain. Caleb Martin is out, also dealing with a hip sprain. KJ Martin's going to be out for a couple of weeks yet, I believe. Jared McCain is out for the rest of the season. Gersan Yabusele, who has been a revelation for the 76ers.
You were fantastic with his names.
He is questionable.
What was his name again? Read it off again.
Gersan Yabusele.
Man, sounds good.
He is questionable with the swelling in his knee. So it is going to likely be another MASH unit for the 76ers. Certainly takes a lot of shine off of the matchup, but look.
I'll take it.
Just as we said with the rest of the games this week, fine. Like, start to win those games.
Just handle your business.
Against bad teams. Yeah. And by the numbers, the 76ers are a bad team.
Yep.
So far this season, especially if they're going to be sans Joel Embiid and maybe even Paul George as well. So,
you know who's not a bad team? Me and you. And producer Max Meyerson. It's his last day on the show tonight.
It is his last show.
Thank you, Max. Even though you don't stick up for me during the commercial break, thank you for everything you've done for us. I will miss you, even though you don't have my back.
Listen, we just got to find some topics that we agree on, and then we'll be just fine. But, no, I appreciate you guys. Yeah, I've been here at GKB for 4 years, and this is my last day, so it's kind of surreal.
It's Max's last day. He hated this show so much, he's leaving the industry as a whole.
He's going to sue us.
But he's going to be our insider for the Cleveland Cavaliers as he's going back home. And, you know, Max, we were talking during one of the breaks. I think it's pretty likely the Bucks are going to finish fourth in the Eastern Conference. And granted, as we've seen the last 2 years, look, you got to win in the first round to even think about the second round. But it's starting to feel more and more like we're going to see a Bucks-Cavs playoff series this year.
Yeah, and as I told you during that break, I will be calling in after every single game. Win or lose, you know,
okay,
if we lose, I will show up. I'll take accountability. But, yeah, I'll be there. I'll be ready to go. And, yeah, I'll be listening to you guys throughout their whole playoff run. And, obviously, I wish the Bucks the nothing but success until they go up against the Cleveland Cavaliers and inevitably lose in five.
I don't know about that. We'll get a fair shot at you. But nonetheless, Max, thank you really from the bottom of my heart. Thanks for everything you've done for the show and for GKB. We appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys, man. It's been a wild ride. I've been a part of some pretty amazing things here in my 4 years.
You've kind of done everything, too, a little bit.
I actually engineered when the Bucks won the championship in 2021, which was wild. I was doing a Packers post game for Aaron Rodgers' last game as a Packer. Unfortunately, I actually turned out Bob Uecker's last game as an announcer was this year, and I was producing that game as well. So I've been a part of some pretty historic moments in Wisconsin sports in my 4 years here. So it's been a wild ride, and I can't be more thankful for my time here at GKB.
Best of luck to you, brother.
Appreciate you guys.
Best of luck, Max, and best of luck to the Bucks Sunday night when the 76ers come to town. 6 o'clock tip on Sunday evening. 5:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to tune in after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.